Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, Peas. This is your summer series episodes for you today.
Woohoo! We've never had a summer series. We're very proud of ourselves for actually organising it, although all we've done is record these few words and the sound engineer has done everything else.
But we hope you enjoy listening back. You might have missed some of these episodes. You might have enjoyed them before. Have a listen again and thank you.
Yeah, these episodes are all people that we've interviewed that we've really enjoyed talking to. Some of them are famous people, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And we thought you might like to listen. It helps us out over the summer and, you know, maybe you'd get lonely without our voices.
Probably.
I don't know.
Probably not.
Anyway, enjoy, Peas.
Thank you.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we are speaking to a revered sporting legend in my family's home.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not suitable for children. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
How excited are you?
Honestly? Very.
Very, very. How excited is your husband?
Very. He's never shown so much interest in this podcast until today.
Never. He was happy to cancel a meeting.
He was. We had a child needing to go to the dentist and I said, but we're speaking to, we're speaking to somebody. And he's like, okay, I will cancel this.
So that's the first time in 18 months.
Yes.
So obviously a superstar.
Very powerful.
Yes.
So yes, would you like to introduce yourself, guest?
I'm Kurt Fernley.
Yay!
I was trying international man of mystery, or what title? I'm under pressure.
Yeah, you are. You are. But my husband has been cheering you on for many years through all your sporting pursuits, and yeah, my children who both have a physical disability love watching you on TV, and whenever there's something on TV with you in it, we're all sitting down watching. So thank you for being a presence for my family.
Yeah.
You know what, I still pinch myself at the kind of direction that everything went. You spend so much energy trying to create something and you forget about the impact and about
yes.
how many people have become a part of this one thing. And, I feel incredibly grateful that your partner and your kids have been a part of it as well.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what happens with my twins. They're 15 now. One of my twins has an intellectual disability as well. And her twin, whenever I'm a little bit soft on her, she'll say, Mum, you know that Kurt Fernley's mum just treated him like normal, so you need to treat her like that too. And I say, okay. So that is going on in my house. So thank you to you and your mum.
I feel like I did the same conversation. Mum, Alan Marshall had fist fights with kids at school when he was a kid, so surely I'm allowed to have fist fights as well.
See? dear. We're thrilled to have you on today. So we're going to ask you the same questions we ask all our P guests. So go for it, Kate.
Yep. So the first question we ask is, do you have a song or a band or a piece of music that either gets you up during good times or sort of helps you during the down times?
I love Paul Kelly. Anything that Paul Kelly has written, I am just a massive fan.
Yes.
One song in particular, Songs from the 16th Floor, it was the song that I danced to my wife with at my wedding. If ever I'm on my own and I'm traveling on the road, which a lot of my life is, it's just a nice reminder to feel like I'm directly with family and the people that I love.
Yeah, yes. I love, love, love Paul Kelly.
Oh, my goodness. Storytelling.
I've just done my house for Christmas and I've made our little notice board say, who's going to make the gravy?
So I actually, Paul Kelly gave me a tea towel that's his how to make gravy.
Oh!
And
it's
up in our kitchen. He was the guy that I always wanted to meet. And just by chance, I did the same TV show and shared a bottle of wine and a lot of stories, and I fanboyed over him quite dramatically.
Yes. He's amazing. Love him.
What about in school? Did you win any awards?
I won a couple. I was ducks of my school in primary school of Carcor Public. I should put the disclaimer that there were only two people in my year. And
no matter,
still,
and it was equal ducks. lots of effort awards.
I think as a kid,
you know, there were very limited gold medals or all that sort of stuff. There was lots of outstanding effort.
Yes. Participation awards.
Yes.
Participation awards. Yeah, they filled my childhood stories.
Yes, I bet. Yes, they did. 100%.
Yes. And the big question, why are you a P or a P friend?
Look, I love what you guys have been able to create a sense of community around people with disabilities and their families. And I feel like we haven't met before today, but I've always felt that people with disabilities in this country, they are my extended family.
Mm.
They are my community. They are the people that understand this shared path that we are all taking, even though it may feel like it is an individual path and an isolated path at some point, but we all have that shared feeling of that we are a part of something bigger. We are a part of what feels like a battle and what feels like carving out the future for people with disabilities in this country, and what you've been able to do to create your audience and your family and your community, I just think is just wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
you. That means a lot to us.
It really does. Yeah. We love our P tribe.
We do.
Love them. They're all awesome.
And the more we can talk about our families, the more we can all thrive. That's what I want.
Yep.
And also just knowing that you have a community that are there for you, and this idea that disability, the fights around disability have been happening since disability was a thing, and it will happen for the rest of time. Unfortunately, we would all like to say that we are going to solve or we are going to get to a point where there will be no need for fight, but that's not the way that we work.
No.
Disability will need to be progressed until the end of time. Everything that we think we know about disability now will be kind of shaking our head at in 20 years' time.
Yes, we will.
If we all do our job right.
Yes.
And I think that having this shared sense of who we are makes that fight a little more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if need be, it'll make that fight a lot more successful because you bring your community into it. We all kind of meet on that battle at that stage if we should.
Yep.
And hopefully we get to turn that dial a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, yeah.
Well, that brings us to the podcast
that
we're here to talk about today, although we would love to talk to you for hours.
I'm all yours.
So the podcast is called A Nation Changed. Could you tell us a little bit about why you wanted to make this podcast?
Lots of reasons. Talking about it's talking about the creation of the NDIS, how it got up into the air, but also trying to figure out if we're still living up to the ideas of what we hoped it would be.
Yes. Mm.
And telling it in a form that, well, firstly, I love podcasts. Podcasts get to be able to do something that very other mediums get to do. You get given the time. You get given somebody's exclusive attention for an extended period of time. And when I finished racing, I kind of just got into podcasting, and then the opportunity to tell this story in a different way, in a kind of like a documentary type approach to it, I just had to go for it because – and the reason why now, I think – right now, we're in a place where there are going to be extraordinary pressures put on every part of our community, and there are going to be budgetary pressures from the top down, and we need to make sure that people, when they see the NDIS on their tax return at the end of the year, we need to make sure that they see this thing, despite the bumps and bruises on it, despite the things that we are all battling to make sure are better, that we see a sense of pride in it, that we see and we hear the fights that it took to get it up in the air, and the wide-ranging community that we're supporting it. And now the results, while it's on the ground, the lives that have been progressed through it, the lives of people with disabilities and their families that have just been, it's been given meaning through it. Mm. So for me, right now, I think it needed to be told in my... From my end, because I almost want to be a part of making sure that when it comes those times that there is a pressure put down in our community, that we're ready to kind of be reminded about how we fought and about how we got this win, and we're ready to make sure that we don't let anything go around it.
Yes. No. Oh. So important.
We listened to the first episode and, wow, peas are going to love listening to this, right? Really, everyone needs to listen to it.
Yeah, everyone does.
But I just cried and cried listening to Julia Gillard talking about when she was talking about it in Parliament. And I remember being a part of the Every Australian Counts campaign, and I remember my friend and I had an afternoon tea at our children's school, and we talked to all the teachers to say, we need this NDIS. Mm. And I'd forgotten about that, and that was just a tiny part that I played. But I thought people that are having new diagnosis now and are starting their NDIS journey, they need to know about this, just like what you were saying.
I remember when we go through it, it takes you back to periods of time when you were starting to talk about how we would fund disability.
Yeah. And
as a kid, I remember talking about how these are 12-year-old kids with disabilities all sitting around saying that they wish they were hit by a car.
Yes.
Because we sit around and we realise that the services that were provided to kids who were born with all variation of disability was just... It was chalk and cheese to the experience that others who were adequately funded were. And a 12-year-old kid to say to another one that they wished they were dragged onto a road because the conversation would be had with that kid with a disability that they would be asked what their goals were in life and how would we find the funds to actually achieve that.
Yes.
That there were just so many points where I was making this podcast and speaking to other people who are both participants and family members who have both had their celebrations with it but also their real struggles with it, just reminding myself about why I found it so important that we got it into play because, you know, like I think about how hard my parents fought for anything, and my family were not the most financial family in the world. Far from it. We had an outside toilet. We had five kids. But Mum and Dad found every dollar they could to provide me a lifestyle that I was able to thrive in. And then I had a community around me, this tiny little community of Kākau that just invested in me the way that the NDIS invests, well, at least the way that every child with a disability in this country deserves to have their community invest in them.
Yes, they do.
They really do. Funnily enough, I was talking yesterday to one of the boys at work, and when I was 18, I was hit by a car and I broke both my legs. Well, I broke my leg and my foot. And he said to me, oh, did you have to pay anything for that? And I said, no. I said, everything. I said, Transport Accident Commission replaced my shoes. They paid my wage for a year because I couldn't walk for a year. I had physio 3 times a week. I had all this stuff. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, I know. Like he could see, you know, because I'll talk about all the fights. And I said, I did nothing. They came to me as well.
Yeah.
They would come to me. What do you need? And they'd help you with the form because I was 18. I mean, that's a long time ago. I'm 48 now. But still, it was ridiculous how much help I got. They didn't even ask if you got private health insurance. Do your parents earn a lot of money? Like nothing. It was all done.
Well, when you're travelling around in the community that we're in, the Paralympic community, you're travelling around and what it is a great network of how people with disabilities are receiving services and engaging with their communities all around the world.
Yes.
And you just heard so many stories of people with disabilities that were, you know, I remember thinking, what do you mean you don't have to find money off your parents to pay for toiletries?
Yes. Yeah.
Just those simple things. What do you mean that catheters are funded for people who require it? Yeah. What do you mean that people with disabilities are given a reduction in cost on their green slip because of the or their car insurance because public transport doesn't allow people with disabilities with on it? There were just so many things that you would learn that other countries are just really nailing and treating like communal infrastructure.
Yes.
While we were still seeing this. We were still funding disability in a way that was take what you get and be grateful.
Yes.
Very grateful. But it was, Anyway, the NDIS is just, it's just a goal. It's just changed everything. I mean, it's not perfect.
No.
Yeah, that's the stories that we would come out during the podcast, and I have to plug its name again.
Nation changed.
We did find that there were a variation of experience and a variation of experience dependent on advocacy, dependent on multiple things, your ability to withstand and be resilient in the constant nature of what seemed to be bombarded in front of you. But you always need to take that view as well of how far that we have come in such a short period of time.
Yes, it is a short period
and that
of time,
we.
Yeah.
That we need to continue to recognise that we've got to make it better.
Yeah.
We've got to keep fighting together as a community to make sure that it does live up to our standards.
Yeah, the whole community. So not just parents, advocates, people living with disability. Everybody listening to this, and we have loads of people listen who we call them rectums, but they're just people.
People who say terrible stuff to people us who, and our kids.
So... they have to fight too.
He doesn't know about the rectum. Someone wrote into us, one of our listeners, and said, what do we call the assholes that say terrible things to our families? Do we call them rectums? And then it just took off.
So people walk up to us in the street and they go, hi, my name's Sue. I'm a rectum, but... We love them. But lots of them listen. You know, they're always, you know, people are well-meaning, what can I do? But I say, well, you can get alongside and fight because, like you say, when you see that on your tax return, I'm just so proud to have earned enough money to contribute to that, right? I just think, wow, we live in a country where that's valued because, you know, we have a lot of peas listening that live in America and they have to really fight, you know. So we should be so proud that that's what we offer.
Mm.
I'm going to steal that rectum term. So every now and then I get these most hate-filled emails from people and I'm just going to respond to them. Thanks for your input, rectum.
And all the, and like if you say it out in the world, the P listeners will understand what you mean.
Oh, yeah, straight away.
Fantastic.
That's perfect.
Fantastic.
I had an OT come to our house to go over our shower for my daughter because we needed a tap so that she could turn the tap on with her one hand. And the OT said to me, you know, Medicare took about 10 years for it to settle and to get in the rhythm. And I was like, oh, because, you know, everything takes such a long amount of time. And I was lamenting about we could have had the tap a year ago, but because of all these stupid things we have to do, it's taken such amount of time. And I thought, well, that's, you know, that's probably something to think about as well. These things take a bit of time to iron out.
Yeah, they do. And then you still see it after 60 years that there is still some in the community that will push back on the idea of Medicare and how you know, although I would say that by far the majority see Medicare as a jewel within the community, there will always be those around the edges that think, why should I pay for an alternative person's healthcare?
And yes.
Whenever I speak about the NDIS, I do, this is the one issue that I do get the most hate-filled stuff that if I talk about the NDIS, I expect somebody to write an email to me saying that why should I pay for the fact that your parents weren't responsible enough to have an abortion, which I have got,
I do get it from
people. So you just need to make sure that when you are in that battle and in this fight, that you do have a thick skin,
yeah,
and you do remind yourself that we need to make sure that we are all pushing in the same direction when it comes to this. It is, again, it's not even a 10-year battle. This will be, as long as we're around, we will be pushing around the edges of how we fund disability, and we should be looking to be the world's best practice in this country, that we should be giving and funding every person with a disability the chance to achieve their place in community, whatever that may look like.
Yes.
And when we do that, everything tells us that when we fund disability correctly, we not only get the idea that we are, in an ideology sense, that we are doing what is right, we are also allowing the community to be productive, tax-paying members of our community. That is a financial contributing. Part of the community, but also the follow-on effect through parents, through families, for decades, that there is a real positive to it.
I know, and I think so. Medicare for people that live outside of Australia is our free universal healthcare, free-ish. No, mostly it's free. You can rock up to hospital and no one will charge you anything. And last year, I had the great joy of going to New York. And I was sitting in this bar and talking to these people, and they said something about they voted for Trump. And I said, oh, okay, why did you do that? Like, you know, I said, just as an outsider, I've, you know. And they said, well, Obama wanted to give everybody free healthcare. Why should I pay for someone else's sick child? And I said, really? And then I really dug down with them and we had a really long discussion. And I said, so if I got hit by a car now in front of you, or if I suddenly got sick, do you think that I should just die? Like, no, of course not. There's the Hippocratic Oath. And I was like, well, actually what you're saying is, you know, and they just, it was so foreign to them, the thought that their tax should pay to benefit. And I said, but your tax pays to benefit the roads and pays to benefit the schools. And what's the difference? In the end, we sort of got there. But I just thought.
You had the rectums in New York.
Yeah, I had the rectums in New York. But I just thought, wow, because we now take, we're so proud of Medicare and we just take for granted that that's how it should be. And that's what we want the NDIS to be. Just, this is just a part of our culture. And here's the real clincher for those people. Anybody can get a disability at any time.
Mm.
So you may need the NDIS one day.
That's right.
So, you know, we're so glad we've got it.
Mm.
We're hoping that maybe in a generation's time that there's not a kid in this community that goes, I wish that I was, you know. I hope that the conversations that I was having as a child, I wish that I was born in another place, or I wish that I was hit by a car, because there was an alternate level of funding, an alternate level that would define my disability to either me or my family. Mm. So I think that we have cemented in the DNA, but I'm a realist that there are going to be certain pressures that are coming on the other side of where we are right now, and I think that we've all got to remind ourselves of, again, the battles that we've fought and the battles that are in front of us, and the reason why we need to just make this thing 100% just, it's part of us. It's the DNA. There's no way backward step. That we do not give back the ground that we've made.
No.
Even this the challenges that we're in here, people with disabilities, they will not be the ones that pay for people with disabilities, and their families will not be the ones that are seen to pay for the way out. We've come too far.
We've come too far.
Tell us about the people that you spoke to make the podcast. Who were some of the groups of people? Obviously, Julia Gillard, that made me cry.
Julia Gillard and Jenny Macklin. Macklin is an absolute legend. She was the – both her and Bill Shorten were the real engines, a political engine in the creation of the cementing into legislation of the NDIS. Mm. I spoke to Jordan Steele John about the advocacy side. I spoke to both people with disabilities and their families about the importance of choice and control. Mm. I spoke to both the minister and the CEO of the NDIA, Martin Hoffman, and Stuart Robb. We just spent a few months digging through different stories and finding out what's actually happening on the ground. I was able to speak to Naz Campanella, who is working and continually following up on the stories around the Royal Commission. She is a weapon.
She came to our Sydney show. We met her.
Oh, I met her and her mum.
Love her.
Naz, I sat down. How do I know Naz Campanella?
Her voice.
Triple J.
Yes.
So many years of kind of waking up to Triple J news and Naz Campanella and not knowing that Naz was blind.
I know.
And then meeting her and such a warm, kind, just fierce character in person. Yes. It was a really good thing. But it's a part of the podcast was not just trying to get your own head around what it is, the story that you wanted to tell, and the idea of getting your own ideology, I guess, or your own hopes for it, and getting that out there as well.
Yeah, well, it's going to be amazing. How many parts is it?
Four parts, all out on International Day for People with Disabilities.
Yes,
but you kind of we could have. Could have done 10 parts, I think, but it was, four parts. And again, I have been kind of lost in the podcast world for a few years, and I do one a week out of my back room and in cars and all of that. And this
that's
one,
how we do it.
this one was really getting a production level around it and telling a story with a team of trying to make sure that the story is a really highly produced kind of thing. And I'm really proud of what it did.
Yeah.
I don't think that I hadn't heard a story told around disability in the podcast form like it. And you get so nervous about producing content around people with disabilities because they are your family and they are your community.
Yes.
And you just feel like you have to do it justice and that you want to tell this wide variety of experience with disability. You want to tell it in both an entertaining and like a purposeful kind of way. And it is really nice to finish it and listen back and just go that I'm proud that it came out the way it did.
It's beautiful. It could be like a radio serial. Like it's really properly produced. Yep. It's not like this.
It flows. Makes sense.
I didn't call one person a rectum.
Next time.
And what's your podcast called?
My podcast is called Tiny Island. It's been something that I finished wheelchair racing with, and I'd had the same doctor since when I was a kid. Just by chance, my doctor became the Paralympic doctor, would become the doctor of my children.
Two
young kids. And he said to me when I was done that I've had my needle in the record, the record that was wheelchair racing, that was sport for such a long period of time, and it's etched really deep in there, and that you're being able to create this thing through that etching, but you need to create something that is different, and you need to go out and grab something right now and use the complete different part of your brain. And I went out that next day and I bought a microphone and a little box, and I started to talk to people. And
brilliant.
I had finished school in 1998, and I had done a little bit of work with Prime Local News. As a young kid, and I couldn't see there ever being an opportunity of someone in a wheelchair being on the front of that microphone.
Yeah.
So I ditched it, and then wheelchair racing, and I would become a teacher, a secondary teacher, a PE teacher as well. But I always kind of thought this idea of sitting down and sharing stories, and I love. And we all get caught up on running so hard that we barely have chance to sit down and share a half an hour with
That's
somebody.
True, yeah.
And I find it so it's my outlet. It's the thing that I. It's the thing that I just truly, truly love. And, it's, again, this whole podcasting world is such a really, it's a pleasure to be in.
It is. And,
it's so supportive.
Create,
it is supportive.
Yeah. You can create such a supportive community who just really buy into it. And there's something I really think is really personal when somebody gets in their car or they go to do exercise and they're just listening to to people being open and honest and real. And I think that's, that's a really kind of valuable thing.
And you have a mix of everyday Australians and famous people. So do you like that contrast?
I do. I love it. Yeah. I love sitting down and having a yarn with a farmer and then the next day having a yarn with the next Prime Minister.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
There were periods of time where even over the next the next months, you sit down with an actor, a sports person, a chef, an advocate around disability. There's this idea that everybody owns what it is to be a person in this country. Everybody owns what it is to be an Australian. It's not just the athletes. It's not just the politicians. It's the carers and the chefs and the builders and the painters and the fencers. And so I think that I will have failed if I haven't had a reasonable representation in there.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good. So I'm sure our listeners listen to it anyway, but yeah.
Yes, I do.
We'll put it in the show notes because we're professional enough to do that.
We've got people that help us.
They're a little bit better than us, but anyway.
Oh, dear.
So for people who live overseas or have been under a rock, can you talk us just a little bit about your sporting journey?
Yeah, I was introduced to Paralympic sport when I was about 13 years old. I was introduced to basketball and athletics, and I would follow that for about 25 years. Mm. I would represent Australia 5 times at the Paralympic Games.
Amazing.
I would win 3 gold medals at the Paralympics, half a dozen world championships.
Amazing.
I would win a few Commonwealth Games gold medals. I would see this incredibly fortunate to be around at a time where disability sport would just grow from strength to strength.
Yes.
Grow in stature within the Australian sporting community. But a lot of people who are abroad, they may have seen disability sport, but they may not have seen just a country that has culturally accepted and promoted and celebrated like we have.
Yes.
Yeah, we love sport.
Yeah.
We love sport.
We love sport.
It's one of those weird experiences being a person with a disability and also quite a well-known athlete is that I get the variation of experience almost minute by minute.
Yes.
That I can have the treatment of an elite athlete where you get just praised on the street, but then the rejection of disability is the soul crushing stuff that you turn up at a airport and you're not allowed on because you're the third person in a wheelchair to go on, you know, like, so you do sit in this really weird experience where you just experience such a variation of who we are, but the community has in general just really nailed kind of celebrating and accepting and progressing disability sport to the stage where in the Commonwealth Games in 2018, the highest profile athletes were people with disabilities, which which going into other countries, that in particular, I think is a really, it's a really unique part of yes. who we are.
I remember when my daughter was, one of my twins was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, and I think then the Paralympics was on that next year, and I was just like, where have I been? This is my thing. I'm crying. I'm laughing. I'm like, they've got a hemiplegia. They've got a hemiplegia. I was just, you know, I just took my breath away.
Yeah, well, representation matters.
That's right. And then every year, my children, that's what we watch. We're watching the Paralympics.
Yeah, yeah.
My husband also has a severe hearing loss, so we've got lots of different things going on in our family. But then my girls started doing some athletics when we got to primary school, and they got them both a classification. One's a T38, one's a T37. Thank goodness they weren't the same. And they went on to represent Victoria 3 times. It was just the best to meet all our para friends. And these were 9, 10, 11-year-old little girls. Like, what a thrill for them. And I was just like, this is so hopeful for so many children.
Look, it is such an incredible community, and being the dad of two non-disabled kids,
yep.
I want to get them involved with it as much as I possibly can.
Yes.
And I kept bringing all, Sheridan didn't realise that when we would be married, we would be inviting just people with disabilities into our house, young kids to come and learn. It was like a halfway house for people with disabilities, with disabilities that had a slight interest in sport. I was, really?
Yeah.
you chase them down on the street, and then all of a sudden, you know, Reed McCracken at 13 years old was introduced to sport. He was he's a T34, he has cerebral palsy, and out of Bundaberg, you know, a month later he's living in the back room, and, you know, like this.
The best.
There is this real sense of family and community yes. with people with disabilities and sporting, especially the sporting community, that we recognise that there is, again, that shared kind of shared story and shared sense of hardship, and we do that really, really well.
Yes.
We do that family idea. And even when you say that your daughter's represented Victoria, I kind of go, have I met him? Why haven't I met him? Yeah, like that I feel
no, they haven't, because husband would never leave you alone. But hopefully one day you might. My daughter's now 15, and but, you know, everything sort of stopped this year.
Yeah, so she's back training.
She's back training, though. But, yes, her, you know, I don't want to put any pressure onto her.
She's got big dreams.
She has big dreams, yeah. So.
Well, we've got a back room if she would ever would
she
like
to. Come to
oh, my God.
although my training is not what it once was, and my discipline is definitely not what it once was.
Well.
I don't know whether you guys realised, but in 2018 when I finished racing, I found this delicious thing called gin.
Oh, we love gin.
I love gin.
I don't know if you can see this, but Kate's got the word gin out of lights. Like,
I can. Yeah, so after retirement. So after retirement, me and my wife we've developed quite a taste for having a gin and tonic at night,
which,
the old, maybe even two or more. But
you've got to make up for all those years.
Yeah, that's right. You've been disciplined for a long time.
Correct.
Your and liver I love was that too you... healthy.
I love that you have a – you see, the stories about what's in the back of people's rooms, I just think is just so amazing that you've got a gin sign and I have this self-portrait of myself.
I know. He's got the picture that Ando painted behind him. I was like, wow, look, I've seen that painting before.
Power
before
move,
we finish,
power
I'm going to make you tilt up and then I'm going to take a photo.
Take a photo.
The ultimate power move.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
We've got to make sure we've covered everything about a nation changed.
Yes. Is there anything else about a nation changed? Because we know everyone's going to listen, but yeah.
I just hope that it's one of those things that when you create something like this and it is telling a, it did require a lot of support and investment from I don't know whether I'm allowed to say the company. Am I allowed
to? Yeah, you're allowed to say.
Well, it did.
This is not the ABC.
We have no rules here.
Well, it did. You know, the investment and support from higher up was amazing, and and being able to tell a story like this and tell it in a way that is really unique, I just felt grateful that I was able to do it. So I hope that it is received by my family, by our family, and that it is something that is just different, and it tells the story that we need to have told, and in a way that does it justice. And I hope that there's a place out there for more stories like this to be told, because there are so many corners, and I like to think of both sport but also the community of people with disabilities. It's this rich tapestry of just story after story of people with disabilities and their families who have had to fight in their own kind of segment and also create these beautiful things. And I'm just really grateful for the support of those guys, and that we've been able to bring this thing that I'm just really kind of proud of.
Yeah.
And I hope that people are able to kind of tune in and let me know what they think. Please don't send me any rectum emails.
No rectums.
I will delete you now.
No rectum
comments. Rectum comments, please.
We've got a whole episode called Rectum Comments. So if you'd like to go back and listen to that one, it's all the ones that families have been told over the years.
Yeah. But the really good one that you would love is called Truth Bombs. And it's all the things that our children have said.
Yeah.
And it is gold.
It's the funniest thing.
We laughed so hard recording it.
We just love celebrating our children.
Yeah, our awesome children.
I do read all the rectum comments, and I know that I shouldn't. But, believe that I should. I believe that I should, because if somebody is going to say something to me on that forum, then they're going to say it to a kid with a disability in the classroom. Yep. They're going to say it to a kid with a disability in the playground. Yep. They're going to say it in a – and those comments that are sent to you, however it's from an adult, they're the most childish, thoughtless comments that you could possibly ever imagine. And I do put those comments in a angry little kid's playground that's yelling. And so I think it's important that whenever I go around the place that I actually have an understanding about what people with disabilities – all variations of disabilities are still being kind of thrown onto their plate. So I do read those rectum comments, because our kids, your kids with disabilities, they see them.
Yes. Oh, they really do.
Regardless of what we would like.
Yes.
They see them. They hear them.
They do.
They know that they're there.
Yep.
And it's important that we kind of stare it down and talk to them in a way that I also get it.
Yeah.
You know, that you look at you, I they may look at me as this alternate version of living with a disability, but it's not an alternate version.
No.
I'm a proud person with a disability, but I still get the same comments that you get.
Yeah.
And you persist regardless. And regardless of those comments, we're here for you, and I'm part of your community and part of my world, and you're valued and loved and beautiful and all of that. So.
Oh, yeah. Kurt. So beautiful. Oh, you're going to make all the mums cry.
All the mums cry. Yeah.
Mums.
Apart from your mum treating you like all the other children, is there anything else that we can learn from your mum about the way that she parented
you? Can you have a yarn to my mum at some point?
Oh, we would love to.
Jackie Fernley is a saint.
Oh, I'd love to talk to her. You send us her details.
Yep, send us her details
book
and
her in
we'll
for
set
next
it
year.
Up. We'd love to.
Yep.
She's an extremely strong, idealistic woman, and I got the pleasure of travelling abroad with my mum, and I've got a little school over in Nairobi that has 75 kids with disabilities, mostly intellectual and up to verbal and nonverbal kids who are receiving 5 days a week education, three meals a day. It's incredible. It's in the Makuru slum in Nairobi, and it's integrated within a mainstream school. And it's called the Kurt Fernley Centre. I took my mum over there, and my mum is fierce.
Yeah.
And we had started that community. We had started it with eight mothers in that slum who were demanding more for their kids. And they came into the local school that was funded by the Edmund Rice Foundation. They came in there and they said that we want a place for our children.
Yes.
And I heard about it, and I flew over there and I sat down with these mums and with my wife as well at that point in time. I think we were only dating at that. No, we might have just been married.
Yeah.
And I sat down with them and spoke about how, you know, amazing it is that they are fierce and strong and they're demanding this, and saw that grow into now 75 children. And I met the same mothers this trip across.
Wow.
And it's grown to a mother support unit of close to 100 mums. And my mum got in there and they spoke, and they just spoke so beautifully together. And mum refused to leave this place until she gave every single person within it a hug and shared a story and said to them about how valuable they are and how their fight and how hard it is the same as how hard it is for her, and that there is this feeling of isolation, and although she's from a completely different part of the world, she is their family and their loved one. And it was the most beautiful, thing that I've been able to see. And I'd be interested to see what mum's story would be with you guys. Because
I'd love to.
We would love to.
Yeah, we would love to. Honor. Yeah, we will track her down.
Because all it comes down to is love.
Yeah.
And how much love we have for our children.
That's what,
and how much your mum love for you.
Advocacy and is it's, love.
That's what it all comes down to.
I always, it's love and fight.
Yeah. Oh, fight. That's
I know. I always say fight.
So yeah,
fight. Because
people say you're very strong, and I'm like, well, we weren't.
No, we weren't.
But now we are.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those, it's that constant reality of people when they ask you, they say, I don't think I could do what you're doing. I don't think I could handle what it, you'd handle it because you got it.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
And there are things around the edges that make that easier. And a lot of that comes down to communication, community, and loved ones.
Yes.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Congratulations. And thank you for you guys creating your community and making that experience a little more gentle for a big chunk of Australia, because we need more fierce mums out there.
You don't mess around with the middle-aged mums.
You don't.
We're really.
You know what? I haven't heard a swear word, but I'm going to say it. Don't fuck with the mother with the
disabilities.
That's right. You serious? Don't fuck with them. They are a very, very strong community, and because the badasses have to fight for every second and everything for their child, and
our children invented resilience.
Yeah,
and if you don't think we're going to go and fight for them when something's not right, it's like an out of body experience.
Yeah,
you're like,
actually,
okay, game on.
Yeah. I just had an email exchange with my daughter's school last week, and I was just like, all right, here I go. I just don't care anymore. I'm polite, but I just speak the truth. There's no room for mucking around. This is the truth. Listen.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what I think. That's part of the beauty of the community of people with disabilities, is that they are just such a rugged approach to life.
Yeah.
That's where I talk about my kids, and again, how they deserve to have people of all variations of disability in their life.
Yes.
For them, they so that means the choice of school that they go to, the choice of sporting club that they go to, as the parent of two non-disabled kids, they need to have disability of all variations within their experience for them to understand what life is all about.
That's right.
And
diversity.
It gives diversity. It gives them a rugged and upfront. I don't know whether you've hung out with the deaf community, but the deaf community are the badasses of all badasses. But there is such a beauty and pride in that community that everyone should be talking about. But all variation of disability, we just, I just find that there are so many kind of beautiful things in there that it is... Yeah, it should be something that we treasure, yeah.
It is. It's just another, like, I just think my life is so much better. My life is so much better. My kids are the most amazing children and their friends are awesome and I've met the most amazing people and I feel sorry for people who have no exposure to
it. I do say, okay, your kids can just play netball and that's easy. Oh, your kids get A's. Okay.
Oh, to play sport, you just buy a pair of sneakers.
Then we come out and hang with the real people, have the best stories.
Yeah, that's right. The best stories.
Yeah, we just say that in a teasing way. It's like, well, yeah, you're missing out, you know.
Yeah, that's because right.
That's how they think we feel.
And we get to hang out with people with no judgment. So that in itself is amazing. I think one of the biggest things that's happened from the podcast that makes Mandy and I cry is when people write in or email us a speak pipe and say, when I was taking my non-disabled child to their school opens, you know, to choose a school, I said, I'd like to know how many aides are in this school. I'd like to know what the diversity is in this school. Do you have, you know,
children
ramps? Is there children with disabilities here? And if they don't, they don't want to go there. And I'm like, good, because those are the schools that should shut.
Yeah.
So, experiencing that as a dad, it's hard to kind of get your head around it, how to voice it about feeling like my children deserve these lessons that are outside of the lessons, deserve the friends that are living a different kind of swing of things.
Yeah.
And making sure, but again, it's not just the school, it's that sports organisation.
Yes. Yep.
It's that community centre. It's the
music club, choir, dance.
Music club.
Churches.
And not just they do it on a Thursday afternoon.
No.
We're figuring out a way to make sure that people with disabilities of all variations of disabilities are involved in every part of it.
That's right.
And yeah, as the dad of people who work so far aren't experiencing disability, although are experiencing disability in such a weird way as well.
Yes, that
ever since they've been able to talk, we've always as a family, whenever kids come up and ask what's wrong with you, with me, my children, I've encouraged them to be the people that described it back.
Okay.
So they get to experience and define what it is to people that are in their world in their own way. So they're going to have this really, and they've had cerebral palsy, they've had people with all variations of cerebral palsy, from those that use gaze boards to those who have slight spasticity in the right leg, to those who are experiencing Down syndrome, to those who are experiencing on the spectrum, and one arm or one leg, or you know, they're experiencing that through my community, and I'll be interested. I'm really interested to know what their lessons are.
Yes.
I want to know how they're going to talk about disability when they're 13, 14, 15.
Well, hopefully, you know, it's just part of their life and they don't think about it.
I remember when one of my girls, I think, they were little and they were crying about having to wear their AFO, and my husband got down and cuddled them both and said, I have to put my hearing aids in every day and I don't want to, but I have to. And he got them in and he said, we are a team. And I was sort of standing in the kitchen. I was like, I'm not in that team, right? But I'm so glad he's in that team with them.
Yeah.
And I just thought, what a moment.
Yeah.
And so whenever they say, I don't want to do this, he's like, well, I'm going to put my hearing aids in, you know, like, it's just, I just want the world to think about that little scenario. It's really precious to me.
that's the thing about where I say that they're my team as well, you know, like they're my family.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that people with disabilities, that there is no lines that are drawn within, there's no hierarchy, where we're all living the same experience and we all need to make sure that we're there for each other because we do recognise that there is just some pretty hard journeys in there.
Yes.
And I do remember, and I would love to hear what my mum would tell me to say about those sorts of things, but I do remember crying and telling mum that it's just too, like,
hard.
It's too hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. That I would finish crawling at the end of the day and I would be just bruised and this and that and it's all just too hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And mum saying that it is going to be hard, but you're strong.
Yes. Mm.
You are strong and you will be able to handle it. And, just those conversations, I think, they're really valuable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always wonder whether people realise how much of an impact those conversations have on each of us. Like sitting down with somebody who's experiencing life through a different variation of whatever that may be, and someone sitting down and saying that they are, you know, they are a part of my family and they are valued and special and beautiful. And
huge.
I think that we need to do that more.
Yes, yes, we do.
Yeah, we say everyone's welcome.
Everyone's welcome.
Yeah. It's a great place to be. So you're all welcome here.
Well, we could talk to you all day.
How are you going to edit this podcast?
This will be it.
We don't.
It'll be like this, mate.
We never edit it. They just go forever.
It's just a conversation.
That's right.
We were going to cut them short and then all the peas are like, no, we love it. Some of them go for an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, we can't stop talking.
No, people just listen.
And why should we cut our story short?
Yeah, that's right.
No way.
No way.
No way. But,
no way.
But then I'm like, how do you make, I have a tendency to just continue a story.
Yeah.
And you're like halfway through the story and then I'm like, oh, there's a better story over here.
Yeah, well, we could keep going forever. But eventually we have to say, well, we better let you go. I'm just making sure we've ticked all the boxes for talking about a nation change.
Yes, that's right.
I think we have.
Well, thank you for getting us on and thank you for doing what you do and hopefully those that are out there that are just experiencing disability in their life that they may have just been brought into them through a beautiful little package at birth, then if you coasted through those years that there was such a thing as Every Australian Counts, if you saw Julia Gillard crying while it was legislated but didn't feel what it was when Julia Gillard was able to legislate it, if you you heard about what people with disabilities were, the fights that they were going through in funding for the most essential and things that you would believe that would be naturally a part of their life, but how hard they had to fight to even get the most kind of minimal parts of it.
Yes.
But you never, you know, that. But I don't know. I just think that jump onto this thing, a nation changed, and and then you are a part of the family now and a part of the community now and that fight's not done and you may be the person that we need to progress and turn that dial up and whatever it is in a year from now, 2 years from now. You didn't plan on disability being part of your life, but it is, and we love you. You're here and we'll be calling on you at some point.
We will.
Well, thank you, Kurt. Thank you, you and your big ginormous painting.
Yeah, hang on, you got to stand back so I can get a photo.
me and my ginormous head.
I love it. When we go on Arn, maybe we'll put one and we'll do another Zoom.
He can paint on the
curtain. I did see 2021 Victorian Australian of the Year in somebody's bio.
I know, but we did not win.
We were nominated.
We're awardless,
but we were nominated. Look, and we were very proud.
We were very proud.
My brothers like to remind me many occasions that I am the shortest prize favourite to never win Australian of the Year.
Oh.
I got down.
You didn't win either.
I got down to $1.30 or something like that. It was ridiculous. And And then, I don't know, two guys go and save 15 children.
Yeah. divers.
No oh, my hope. Goodness. Heroes. Heroes these days.
Oh. Well, that's what I said to my mum. We're not going to win in a pandemic in a bushfire year. No. She's like, yes, you're probably right.
Yeah, well, my wife said to me on the way down for the New South Wales Australian Day, she goes, we had just arrived in from New York that day and we needed to go down the next day. And I hadn't filled out the forms of accepting the nomination because we were overseas. So I land and I'm like, oh, the kids didn't sleep that night. And we wake up and Sheridan's like, we have to go down, Kurt. You have to go down because we're just eyes hanging out. You need to show you. And of course, okay, we go down. And she goes, but you're not fucking winning. No, she's like, no offense, but there's a guy that's trying to solve world hunger. There's another one that's trying to cure cancer. There's another one that is, oh my goodness.
As if two podcasters were going to do that.
No.
But we were very proud. We were the first podcast to be nominated. So, we'll be proud about that.
Congratulations. And again, it's about the community that you're building and it's about making sure that Australia is engaging with everyone and your community, no doubt. What you've done is bloody good.
Well, we'll just keep going, but thank you. That's high praise.
Yes,
we'll let you go, otherwise we'll just keep talking to you forever. Yeah. All right, we'll let you go. Thank you
so much for your time.
It was a lovely pleasure.
It was lovely.
Thank you.
We'll see you one day.
Chat to you soon.
See you.
Okay,
bye. Oh my gosh, Kate, Kurt Fernley. Oh, he was just a delight.
I feel like this weight lifted off me just from talking to him. He's so lovely.
Oh. I think he was a gift from the universe.
I think he was. He really was. At the end of a hard year.
Yes.
He's just a beautiful soul.
What a beautiful man.
Yeah. And that picture hanging behind his head. He said he's got no memorabilia anywhere,
For his big
and then his
Ando
wife
painting.
Really loved the Ando painting.
Oh, well, it's a gorgeous painting.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. It's beautiful.
Oh, I just, wow.
I know.
Wow. What an incredible man.
Yeah. And look, he was so generous with his time.
He really was.
We're just so lucky with the people that chat with us. Of you that have chatted.
That's right. Yeah. All of you.
Yeah. We love you. All right. Anything make you cry?
Well, yes. Well, I listened to the first episode of A Nation Changed and I just cried and sobbing listening to Julia Gillard because she was crying.
She was crying.
Yes, introducing it. And I thought,
what a thing you've done.
And for all its faults within my own little world of it, there is no doubt that it has changed my daughter's lives.
Unbelievably.
Yes. And I'm thankful.
Yeah.
I'm thankful I live here in Australia.
Yeah.
But I want to, as he keeps saying, we need to keep it and we need to improve it.
Yes.
Not make it lesser.
To all be happy to pay for it.
So, yes, I cried and cried and cried.
Yeah.
Well, I was just that.
It's amazing. Oh. You'll love it, Peace. Yeah. If you haven't listened already, you will love it.
Especially newly diagnosed Peace. Yes. Because you might be like, NDIS, blah, blah. No. Hard fought.
Yeah. It's like feminism.
Yeah.
People before us fought really, really hard. So, yeah. So I cried, proper sobbing crying, which was weird. It caught me by surprise. You know when you're like, I didn't think this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I was explaining to my mum what the mental load is.
Oh.
And I was like, mum, it's when you're making all the decisions and you're booking the appointments and then you're worried about this child with that. And
what's for tea?
And I just started crying, sobbing. And she's like, I just never heard anyone say it before. And I don't know. We just had a moment because – You people know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And I just said something to her. I said, I'm tired of making decisions.
Yes.
Just like, I know. Oh. And it was just, anyway, it caught me. I was about to go into work. So I was like, I've got to go now.
Oh, okay.
The work boys just see me, give me a hug, keep working. Like nothing's going on. No. They're like, oh, what's she having? What's happened to her?
Well, you were telling your mum.
Yeah. But it was.
That you're very tired.
Yeah. I think we've had a big year, haven't we?
And if you have a mum still in your life that you're close to and that's the person you can download to, it's a relief. Because there's not many people you can tell your honest truth to.
Yes, I'm very lucky and I really know that I am. So, that was my cry. What about make a difference, Maddie?
Oh, heaps. Right.
Yep, I've got a few too.
So we put up the Christmas tree. Normally I'm a bit, can we wait a couple of weeks?
Oh, I'm the 1st of December or later normally.
Never.
This year, everyone's up.
I know. I was like, yes, we can. Let's get it out. And I just thought, you decorated it. I'm not micromanaging.
I know by the time you're listening to this, all of your trees are up, but we're recording early December.
Yeah, so Yeah, and just all three girls putting things on. Oh, yeah. They're like, we're not putting any ugly memorabilia on here.
It's funny because for the first few years they're like, we want that ugly memorabilia.
I put the lights up around the, you know, let's just start having some happy times. Yep. If we can. I finished up my work.
Yes,
and
Mandy.
This is a big deal because I don't normally shut it down. I normally work all through January because I just need,
the,
need
money.
The money.
Yeah.
And this year I thought I'm going to prioritise a rest. And yes, we have to edit the book.
We do have to edit the book. So we'll be working anyway. So to add another load on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel a little bit of a relief, but also it's hard because people email and say, can you work with me? And I have to say, no, I'm not working.
Until February.
This is tricky for me, but I'm doing it.
Yes.
Because
well, she's still amazing and she'll be here next year for you.
I will be. That's right. I took Molly to Target because I needed new undies again because the dog ate four pairs.
The dogs love eating undies.
I love it.
I know.
They love my, you know, secretions. Sorry, sound engineer. So off we went and she found this dancing Christmas tree.
It's just
ridiculous. But I looked at her and I thought, this is just like after the surgeries when I just buy her whatever she wants.
Yes.
And she looked at me and I said, do you love it? She said, I love it. I said, okay, let's just get it. Who cares? And then I took a little video and put it on my personal Instagram because she's just so happy. Who cares?
Who cares?
Whatever makes them happy this year.
It's the season of.
Yes, that made me laugh too.
Yep. So my make a difference was, first of all, which sounds ridiculous, I found new dry shampoo.
Oh.
It's got collagen in it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, so it fattens up
your
hair.
I sprayed it on my face, did nothing. But it just, because I've got really thin hair.
Oh.
And so it gave me a bit more of a boost. Yeah, a bit of volume.
Wow.
And I've really enjoyed using it.
Okay.
Like because.
I haven't noticed, sorry.
I don't know. I just notice.
Yes, that's okay, right.
Yeah. So that was a big make a difference. And the other thing that made a difference in my life was, and this sounds weird, there was an article by Tyson Shine, who works for the ABC, and he wrote about his story about flying into Sydney.
Yes, I read
And wearing a mask and having people in Sydney sort of say, I mean, nothing against you, Sydney-siders, we love you, you're a great peace supporters. Oh, look at all these Melburnians wearing masks and him being in a cafe freaking out that it was full. And he actually took a video. Like that's how overwhelmed he was that because we still have very strict rules in Victoria. Yes. So nowhere you go is capacity. Actually, Scholarship was saying the other day, I don't know how we're going to go back to having packed restaurants.
I don't know either.
It's really nice having the space around you.
Yes, it is,
actually. We haven't had a full restaurant since February.
And when you're loud, you're worried that everyone can hear you.
Yeah.
Now it's a bit of space.
Yeah. So, and I just, the comments were disgusting. Whoever those people are that write stupid things like, whatever, you haven't been through a war, get over it. We know we haven't been through that. But it was just to read it written beautifully. And I just thought, and I know you're like, please stop saying this, Kate, but when are we going to feel, when's it going to be a memory? Because it's so real still.
It's
like the fact that we can go for a walk without a mask is.
Oh, it's still a thrill.
It's a thrill.
Yeah, I trot off down the road.
I know. And I was.
Look at me without my mask.
Lorraine and I were running late the other night. She forgot she had to go to tennis and I cannot run. So we're just walking quickly. And I thought, I can do this a bit better.
Yeah,
because
mask.
I've got no mask on. Yeah. And so anyway, I just think things that we've taken for granted, we will not for a long time.
We
so
won't.
Just going for a walk without my mask is amazing.
It's
so,
coming out with fresh eyes. It's
really
bizarre.
It's really bizarre. So that was lovely.
I forgot to say too that my friend Nat suggested that we all watch on Netflix Voices of Fire, which is people auditioning for a gospel choir.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It's
Voices
awesome.
Of Fire.
It's like Australian Idol, but for gospel.
I'm down.
It's so good. The voices are extraordinary.
Oh.
And I was just like, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
I'm hooked on this TV show.
Okay.
And I just thought, this is what I miss about the church.
Singing, music,
you know.
Scholarship was going to start a choir this year.
No one does it better, actually.
And we were just going to let whatever
locals
wanted
join.
To join. You could just come each week.
Yeah.
Anyway, next year when we're allowed to have people over.
Anyway, Voices of Fire, gospel
voices
choir.
Voices of Fire.
It's got the guy who sings Happy.
Oh, okay.
What's his name? You know.
Because I'm happy.
Yeah, go.
And what about laugh?
I laughed, but you might be cross with me about this laugh, but I'll say it anyway. My dog ate the advent calendar, the entire Cadbury advent calendar, 23 chocolates, mowed down. Every door was open. Every foil bit was taken. And she ate the entire thing. I don't know. I wasn't there to watch it.
Flicking open those little doors, opening the foil.
No thumbs. How did she open all those doors?
Yeah, with her nose.
Did she do it in order?
I don't think so. Must put a disclaimer, Mandy rushed her to the vet and she's fine.
Yeah.
It's a small advent calendar.
Because it was
no,
upsetting.
She loves her dog. But it was just the ridiculous.
It was pandemonium, but I thought, imagine how happy she was at that moment. She was just like, guys.
I got another one. I got another one.
Anyway, my girls were very upset. So I rang the vet. She even giggled, the vet nurse.
Yeah.
So we're straight down. She had a big vomit. Yeah. And she's okay. But it gave us all a fright. I'm not laughing about it.
No. Keep your chocolate up, people. Yeah. It's normally Easter we all remember.
Well, the vet said, oh, Easter is when this always happens. So anyway, she's up on our local vet's Facebook page as a warning.
Mandy, very mediocre parenting this week.
You know, I just thought, and it was right when I was starting to cook tea. So,
of
you
course.
Know, like I've got half a potato out.
Yeah.
And then, mom! And you're like, what?
I know.
All right, vet, where's the vet? Go, everyone. You know, and then.
I sent Mandy some long message and she's like, sorry, I'm just at the vet making her vomit.
I thought this, and I put it on my Facebook. One of my friends goes, you can't script this stuff.
No, you can't.
I was like, no, you can't.
No,
you know?
It was
just another thing. Oh, anyway, it was funny and terrible.
I know. Well, my laugh, I have two. The first one, number one daughter and I were just talking about lockdown and Buzz was just sitting at the table. And he just looks up and very earnestly said, if we do go back into lockdown, you two will need antidepressant drugs and that's what I'm worried about.
We laughed for ages.
Not laughing at antidepressant drugs, bring them on. Just the fact that he was like, I can't deal with you people.
Fair enough.
I was like, yeah, mate, we will need meds changed. And then the other thing that made me laugh very much yesterday, and I just keep laughing about it, was Woody did his own hair. He got ready for school really well and did his hair. And then he just came up to me and said, do I look like Rick Astley? And he does.
He does look like Rick Astley.
And I'd never noticed.
Yeah.
I was like, how does he even know
how
who
does he
is?
Even know who Rick
Must
Astley
be that
is.
Rick Roll meme. Oh. Anyway, so I'd just been all day, you know, singing. Never gonna give you up.
Never gonna let you down.
Anyway, it made us laugh a lot. And it made him laugh too.
Yeah.
Like he was like, okay, this is funny.
I've just remembered this other one from Miss Ten now.
Yes.
I keep saying her name. She had to do a writing course at school yesterday and she was a bit like, I don't really want to go. So when she got home, I said, how did it go? And she goes, well, it was a little bit boring, but I made two new friends. And I was like, oh, fantastic.
Awesome.
I said, who were the friends? She lifted up her little skirt and she had two faces drawn on her knees. And she said, Gary and Fred. So I said, you made two friends on your knees? And she's like, yep.
Well, I think that writing course paid off because look at that
imagination. And I was like, this is Anna Green Gables and the window friend. And I just thought that is not what I expected she was going to say. I took a photo of her knees. I'm sending it to her teacher to say
children.
She made some new friends.
Children are the best.
Just came out of nowhere.
Oh,
goodness.
Well, we're going to love and leave you, peas, until 2021.
This is our last episode.
Unless Santa brings you an episode.
Maybe.
Yep. But, you know, who knows about that?
Yeah.
We've spoken to the most amazing people all year.
Yes.
You've been the most amazing listeners.
Oh.
You've been generous beyond words. The amount of money that you've given to Donna for her charities.
Yes.
I just, you're amazing. You're just, we have found the best people in Australia.
We really have.
I don't know how it's happened, but you're all awesome.
Yes.
We love you.
Thank you for all your support of
thank
us.
Thank you.
You've changed our lives.
Yeah. You can have a summer free of swearing
and us, the
middle-aged women squawking.
So I'm going to encourage Kate to not do any social media too, to have a break.
We'll probably do little bits,
the hangout will be there.
Yeah.
But, it won't be the regular posting.
No.
Yeah. Because we're terrible with boundaries, so I'm trying to put one onto her.
Yes, we are terrible with boundaries.
Yeah. So we'll have a break and then we'll come back fresher.
We really,
Is
really
that a word?
Will. Yep, fresh. That's sure. Femme fresh.
gosh.
So rate and review. Yes. Thank you for your Acast supporters. You've heard about the booklet now, changing lives with that money.
Yes.
And have a whatever sort of holiday you want to have.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
We'll see you next year. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.